This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Get something shocking in your ear every Tuesday night at 10 on Joy 94.9. Join us.
Hi, this is Gerard Johnson, director and writer of Housebound. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
You know, I'm not even sure I'm in the right tuning.
What's up?
Brotherhood of Steel.
Brutal. Brutal as fuck.
Thank you so much for taking some time out to talk about a lot of things that are going on for you, Ant Timpson.
It's my pleasure. I wasn't that busy. I just walked out of a movie.
Oh, okay. Now, for most of our listeners, they know you from being the power and the creative side of the ABCs of Death 1 and 2, which have been hugely successful.
It's great to even know about them down in Australia. They did really well. I mean, well enough for us to do a second one, and we're sort of contemplating a third one just because it was so much fun to work with. You know, so many directors each time, and there's sort of been some interesting spin-offs and relationships between the parties occurred between the whole production of the films. But yeah, just on a personal level, I'm a lifelong fan of anthologies. It was so much fun to actually come up with one that people seem to like. A lot of people seem to dislike as well at the same time, but I mean, it's better to make something polarizing than something that just sort of sits in the middle and doesn't do anything.
Exactly. I was really surprised that no one had done this before the ABCs of Death came along.
Well, I guess, there's obviously so many variations in terms of anthologies. I never sort of, I mean, we call it an anthology, and it's, you know, there's other words like omnibus and portmanteau, but at its heart, it's really kind of like an ode to the slapdash midnight movie programming that was in the late 70s, early 80s that I attended. And, you know, I kind of think it's like a horror spin on the Spike and Mike Twisted show that used to sort of travel around as this cinema circus style event where I used to play college towns and everything. And there was a whole crazy bunch of shorts put together and slapped with a title on top of it. And hopefully there was a little bit more curation involved in the ABCs, but that's kind of the feeling of it, that it was kind of experimental and guerrilla and provocative, and that, you know, that the audience really didn't know which way it was going to go as they were checking it out.
Mm. It is pretty similar to come out around the same time as VHS 1 and 2, which is similar and obviously being an anthology as such. But, yeah, very, very stylish, and congratulations. They've done incredibly well. And now you've become something of a production studio entity and supporting a lot of new talent. Did you ever think that would happen, that you would become a studio? Are you a studio now, Ant Timpson?
Or? No, I'm definitely not a studio. I'm just another tiny, struggling producer in the independent film scene. Like, I don't think there's any producer that isn't struggling these days, even though it seems like, you know, if you've got a couple of films that are sort of hitting the waves around the same time, that everything must be rosy. But it's extremely tough out there in terms of getting sort of penetration and, you know, getting out to audiences. It's just it's a long road. And so, no, I'm just really stoked that we've got two films that I'm involved with have both sort of come out of creation of events that I was part of. And, you know, so the Turbo Kid has sort of blossomed from the ABCs of Death. We had a global competition, and that film sort of spun out from that because I approached the filmmakers and inquired about whether they'd ever thought about expanding their original short and fleshing out the universe. And then in terms of Deathgasm, which is the other film that's playing at MIFF, that was from a competition we do in New Zealand called Make My Horror Movie. And it was an initiative that I set up with the Film Commission in New Zealand, as well as an American company called MPI. And they both put up half the money each. And then we just asked members of the public to submit, you know, the craziest idea for a horror film with a poster. And that's all you had to do to really enter it. And we basically had a submission process that dwindled down until we had a top 12. And then we made, you know, we got more and more detail out of each of the participants until we ended up with Deathgasm. And that one won the whole thing. And we gave them a budget. And then we sort of oversaw the production and put a really good team of people around the director because it was his first film. Yeah, it's just been a roller coaster ever since it sort of premiered at South by Southwest. It's had such great audience response, and also critics have seemed to like it a lot.
I didn't know you could do that with dildos.
Oh, you just saw it? Okay, cool.
You know, so it's put a whole new angle on sex toys, and it's really interesting.
Yeah, it's the funny thing about Deathgasm is that it is kind of semi-autobiographical in nature in terms the director's background, because he had really a sort of, you know, a very religious, strict upbringing. So the main character in the film is kind of like a mirror image of how he was and how metal became this escape valve for him to get away from the rugby buffheads and, you know, these over-dominant bearing parents who wanted to ram Jesus down his throat. And so, you know, he wrote the main character based on his experiences growing up. I'm not too sure whether the sex toys were part of the whole his whole coming of age. I think he's got a really puerile sense of humour as well. And I think if you're going to do a really cheap gag, you may as well take it to the nth degree, which he certainly does in Deathgasm. There's not a cheap gag that he doesn't bash it over the head.
And that's Jason Lee Howden. Yeah, he's written it as well, and you've been involved. Were you a producer for that as well?
I was executive producer on it. We were there from, I keep saying we, but I was there from synopsis stage, really, right through. And then I brought on a producer named Andrew Beatty, who assembled a really good team around Jason in terms of practical effects people, because Jason's background is visual effects. He was a compositor at Weta Digital, so his background is visual effects. But Deathgasm, obviously, is love letter to all those sort of 80s practical effects movies.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of...
It's very brain-dead.
We pulled on some experience. We got some very brain-dead, very, you know, a throwback to the inspirations of things like Trick or Treat, you know, the sort of great heavy metal horror movie from the mid-80s that was kind of one of the big inspirations for this. And, you know, but he's also a big fan of the coming-of-age sort of movies as well. So it's a sort of hybrid film.
And looking at Turbo Kid, I mean, it's different again. Like you were saying, it was just to clarify.
For the ABC's film, we opened it up for a global competition where anyone from around the world could end up with their short inside the feature film, the finished feature film. So we had a huge amount of interest from, you know, I don't know, 40 countries or whatever. So they didn't end up winning the competition, the people who made Turbo Kid, but they were incredibly popular. I just remember noticing them in the competition, and their short was really fun. If people want to check it out, it's called Tears for Turbo, and I think it's online somewhere. So I just approached them. We hadn't even chosen the winner at that stage, I don't think, and I just wrote to them because we had mutual friends, and I said, you know, what are you guys doing? Are you making a feature film? Have you ever thought about doing something? And they had a couple of ideas, and I said, do you want to maybe think about developing Turbo? Because you already sort of, you know, you've got this sort of calling card short that kind of explains the world to people. Mm. When we go out to pitch it to the money folk, they can sort of get their head around what sort of the tone is going to be. So we just sort of took off from there, and it was a very quick process once we took it to market and got some interest from a Canadian producer, and that's what initiated a Canadian-New Zealand co-production.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
And then I brought on my friend. Yeah, so it was both of them came out of sort of unusual backgrounds. They're not really your standard script development process and going through. They both came from very unusual starts.
Because it says for director, it has just in the, you know, cast and crew and the description of the film, it's the RKSS Collective, or what are they called? Roadkill Superstars Collective. So that's their acronym, RKSS.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
Yeah, there are three. There's a brother, sister, and partner. Mm-hmm. And they've been making shorts for a decade or so. And so they finish each other's sentences. They just, you know, they all live together. They all, they're just complete diehard gamer nerd fans, horror mm-hmm. fans. And they've just, you know, they work as one person. They all have sort of different specialties. So, you know, one person sort of can look after the visual side of it, and the other one will be like talking about performance, and then the other one's more behind the camera. So it's kind of, they operate as a team really well. I don't think they'll ever work independently. I think they're just so ingrained into this process of three of them being in charge that it's really cool to watch, and it's really interesting to see where they're going to go from here.
Yeah. Do we know where they're going to go with Turbo Kid? Is it going to become, I don't know, TV series? It could be.
Yeah,
quite
interesting. Turbo Kid's done really well because it premiered at Sundance, and it was kind of like the surprise hit at Sundance, and it was sort of came in under the radar, and then everyone sort of embraced it, and, you know, they got a lot of attention and a lot of agency interest, and they got signed to a really cool boutique agency, and so they've got projects coming at them to look at all over the place. They're developing one right now, another one that's going to be made in Montreal, and that's another one based on one of their earlier shorts, and it's kind of like a female Death Wish scenario, a sort of female revenge movie. So that's the next one, but they've got, you know, obviously we all love the Turbo Kid universe, and if there's a chance to do, you know, expand that universe even more. Everyone who's involved with that film just loved the experience so much and loves RKSS so much that they'll, you know, jump through the fire again if it comes up.
Cool. And you're the producer for this one too. So, yeah, there's a lot.
Yeah.
What happening here? Now, I was just looking at, of course, Michael Ironside appearing in any film is exciting. It's just very exciting. How did they score him? How did that happen?
He was, like everything that happens with film, it's kind of a mix of luck and determination, but luck played a huge part of it because we ran into the guy at a cocktail party in Toronto, and they pitched him the idea, and he was, you know, super polite and lovely and kind of made fun of the idea at the start, but then he followed through. He was like, I'll read the script and get back to you. And he read it really quickly and got back straight away and said, yeah, I love it. I get what you guys are doing. You know, here's some of my dates that I'm available. Because he's also Canadian, it's, you know, he was quite keen to film in Canada as well. Mm. So it worked out really well. And he, you know, he's a guy who's just worked with everyone. So he brought a lot of experience onto set as well. And so they really looked up to Michael a lot. And yeah, he just adds so much, you know, he brings so much weight, you know, from his history of being, you know, this villainous character that everyone knows from films. He's just a natural fit for the role of Zeus in the film.
Oh, yeah, amazing. And I won't spoil it for people what the little twist is. But, if anyone who has enjoyed Starship Troopers, the first one, of course, and the Paul Verhoeven, and, of course, Scanners, will just enjoy his fabulous personality that really comes out. Pretty amazing. Now, you're going to be here too, aren't you, for, I believe, Deathgasm at least, which is going to be screening as part of the night shift for the Melbourne International Film Festival, which is starting really soon. I think Saturday the 8th, and it's going to be playing again on Friday the 14th. But you're here for the Saturday one, is that right? I think
I'm here for the Saturday one. I'm also, I think, I had a Turbo Kids screening on the 6th as well.
Yep, the Turbo Kids screening the 31st of July, actually, and then Thursday the 6th. So I guess you'll be coming for the Thursday one. At MIFF.
Yeah, missing the first one, but I'll be there to bore everyone in the audience on the 6th.
Well, look, I think the 31st one, that's 11:30 p.m. session. So, yeah. Now, I did love in the Turbo Kid.
I'm really looking forward to it. I used to fly over to the Melbourne Festival just to be an audience member. I love the festival a lot, so it's going to be really fun to be there
with a film. Yeah, that's great. And if it's at the Forum, I think they're at Acme these days. A lot of them are playing at Acme, but you've probably been to some of the films when they were at the old Forum there on Flinders Street. And what a gorgeous old nouveau building falling apart, but but so beautiful and real character.
I love that cinema.
Yeah.
I love the, is the Capitol still being used?
Not so much. It's more for smaller sessions, but now that we've lost the Greater Union, which is a bit sad, that wonderful monstrosity from the 60s, that's gone, unfortunately. So now it's ACMI and perhaps the Forum, and I'm not sure. I think Kino, which is up on Collins Street. But they're all very fancy and new, really. So it's not quite the same anyway.
No.
If you love old cinemas.
I'm sure it'll be,
drafty, old, cold buildings. Maybe we won't get the Melbourne, what is it, the MIF flu these days. Because when it was at the Greater Union, it used to be freezing sometimes in there. They wouldn't turn the heaters on and it would be...
Was the Greater Union one of the really skinny, long ones?
Yeah.
Or was that the one down on...
It was on Russell Street, around the corner from up from the Forum, and it was
around
just
the corner,
drafty and really badly heated.
I saw the Ali G movie there, and it was the worst movie I could have ever chosen to go in there. But I remember those cinemas really well. They were kind of really funky with a crazy weird mezzanine to them as well.
Yeah, very strange upstairs area and big panel doors, the big wooden doors are quite amazing. But that's no more.
Yeah.
We've lost quite a few of our wonderful cinemas, but at least we've got the Astor that survived, which is great.
Yeah, my friend's running the Astor now. I think he's the manager or something. Zach Hip.
Yeah, that's him. We love Zach. And they've got a cat. Did you hear? They've got a new Astor cat.
I know all about the cat.
Duke, yes.
Facebook's a wonderful thing.
It's a great thing, isn't it? All right, cool. So, looking forward to you coming over and promoting these two interests. Now, what about yourself? Are you making anything instead of just producing stuff and helping people out? What have you got on the radar you can tell us about?
Yeah, I kind of think, because I obviously started off making crazy home movies and things, and, every creative producer is a failed director at heart. So, I always seem to get my fingers in the pie in terms of having creative input in projects. So as long as that keeps continuing, I think those needs will be satisfied. But, one part of me definitely wants to maybe there's certain ideas that I've been thinking about maybe developing and getting them out there with the right director. But I don't know if my if I'll ever sort of front a film for myself. My big belief is that, you are good at certain things and there's enough bad directors out there or mediocre directors that we should probably support the good ones. And I quite like finding new talent as well and getting out there and being on the ground floor of people's careers is kind of, it's really nice.
That's really cool. It's that grassroots feeling you get too. You're like a backstage Peter Jackson, so to speak. For the next
generation.
There you go. I had to think of something. No, that's cool. Well, maybe.
No, it's good. And it's also, you can't fall too far if you start off down there as well, So
it's true.
It keeps you very humble because it's very
crowded.
You're so a zillion miles away from the wonders of Marvel or whatever the crap filling screens these days that it's kind of.
I've given up.
You get less interference if you play down, less interference if you play in the muck. Is what I seem to find.
Yeah. No, fantastic. Well, maybe we'll see you over for Monster Fest too. I know that's coming up later in the year. Perhaps you may be over for that.
Oh. Absolutely. It's Neil. I know I've been to Monster Fest.
Yeah. It's always fun.
I'm always very, very keen to hang out with like-minded fans over there.
Yeah. It's when fans become, friends that become creative people making awesome movies and promoting them and supporting them. It's good to help local stuff happen. Excellent. Well, Ant Timpson,
Absolutely. It's
been great chatting to you. Wish you all the best of luck with all your endeavours and all the stuff you're doing. It's just terrific. I think it's a Kiwi thing, pulling all this stuff together. I call it the scrounge, it's what we do.
It's always the grass is green. I always look at the stuff that's coming and being made in Aussie and I'm completely jealous about what's going on over there. So it's, the feeling's mutual. But, yeah, thanks for having me on, and I look forward to catching up at one of the screenings.
Yeah, cool. Now, before you go, I wonder if you could do a station ID, if that's all right, a show ID. It's just like a tag that we can use. Cool. So obviously your name, whatever you want to say, and then it's and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Joy.
Cool. Squeam. Yeah, that's it. It's always been
okay, Joy 94.9.
That's it. Yeah, cool. Whenever.
And what's it called? Cinema and Squeam?
No. Sci-fi and Squeam.
Oh.
So it's science fiction
sci-fi
and horror.
Sci-fi and Squeam.
That's it. Cool.
Okay.
Thanks.
Hi, I'm Ben Simpson. I'm the producer of Turbo Kid and Deathgasm, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy FM 94.4.
94.9.
Fuck. 94.9.
Right. Just say 94.9 and it's fine.
Hi, this is 94. Beep. Okay, 94.9. Okay.
Yep.
Hi, this is Ant Timpson. I'm the producer of Deathgasm and Turbo Kid, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Beautiful. Excellent. Thank you so much. That's cool. Great, we got there. Yeah, good luck. Have a good trip over here.
Thank you.
We'll catch up with you, hopefully, on Facebook or something.
Yeah, absolutely. Or we'll see you for a drink over in Melbourne.
Yeah, that'll be great. Cool. All right. Thanks a lot, Ant. I'll let you go. Cheers.
Cool.
Thank you.
This is the future. The world as we know it is gone. Scarred by endless wars. Humanity struggles to survive in the ruins of the old world. This is the future. This is the year 1997.
Hey, this is Matt from Astron 6, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
I'm a late boy. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
This is Owen Pallett, and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
This is Ashley C. Williams, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Hey, this is Matt Kennedy. You're listening to Joy 94.9. Enjoy it.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.